You know, in the season that we're in as a church, we've been talking about new things and going into new things. You know, a few months ago, Pastor Samuel Rodriguez came and he spoke a powerful message on Paul's journey to Rome and how there's obstacles that came up. There's opposition that came up. But because of God's hand on his life, because of his willingness to stay focused and go forward, he made it to that God place. I think everyone in this room and everyone in your room, God has a plan for your life. God really does. I know you can look at your life and go, my life is so chaotic right now. Your life may be currently chaotic, but God has a good, good plan for you. You know, in the book of Acts, when the story was being told, Paul was in trouble again. Paul was consistently in trouble. Paul had a past, and Paul's past was not pretty. Anybody else had not a pretty past? Yeah. I know some of y'all think you're, you know, I've been born a Christian. You know, the Bible says even when you think you got a pretty past, God looks at that pretty past and says, that's filthy to me. You still need to be made righteous in me. So Paul, who had been, you know, he had a bad past, and, you know, Jesus showed up to him in this very dysfunctional place that he was in and just poured out his love to him, really. And this whole transformation happened in Paul's life, and he said, I'm committing to God's purpose in my life. We know, you know, again, I'm not going to re-preach the story that Pastor Samuel taught, but we realize that God told, Paul was in this terrible situation. He was imprisoned again, and, you know, he was trying to justify his case. And what I love about Paul, whenever he was brought before leaders, he did not try to defend himself. He didn't try to prove why he was right. He didn't try to beg or plead for mercy. Every time he was brought before leaders, he told his testimony. He said, I was a broken, dysfunctional man, but Jesus showed up. And because of his love for me, he transformed and changed my life. So in this, I just want to read this one passage, because on this journey to Rome, we all know the story that, you know, they all get on this boat, Paul and the rest of the prisoners and the guards, and they're taking this journey on the way to Rome. On the sea, man, the weather was not cooperating. They were going from one place to the other. It was slow. The wind, they didn't have like jet boats that we do, you know, or the power they could just kick on. They actually had to use the sails, and it was all dependent on the wind, and the wind was just not cooperating. The weather wasn't cooperating. Navigating the course was challenging. In fact, Paul, who was spirit-filled, by the way, had the Holy Spirit's direction on the inside of them. At the whole beginning of this trip, he says this in Acts 27, verse number 10. He said, men, I can see that our voyage is gonna be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and cargo and to our own lives also. But the centurion, the one in charge, instead of listening to what Paul said, which was inspired by the Holy Spirit, by the way, he followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. And then they looked at the circumstance. This port that we're in, it's not so great. Let's sail to this other one. Has anybody had a situation in your life where you feel like you're going, and a voice of the Spirit on the inside of you is saying, hey, hold on, slow down. This isn't going to go well for you, but you overrode that? Have we ever done that? No, never.
More times than not.
You know, I did this one time with Taco Bell. I know some of y'all are going, okay.
Really?
Yeah, Taco Bell. Really? I was sitting eating maybe a Taco Supreme or a Burrito Supreme, something like that. And I started to take the first bite, and just on the inside of me, the voice of the Spirit on me, don't eat, this is not going to end well for you. And I've eaten Taco Bell lots of times, right? But the voice of the Spirit on me says, this is not going to end well for you. I know some of y'all are relating right now. And I went ahead and ate the thing anyway, because I paid, back in the day, you know, a dollar. I went to Taco Bell the other day, and we barely ordered anything, and it was $40. I'm like, I could have went to a regular restaurant, like with good food.
$40?
Good food.
What did you order?
Not much. Anyways. But I overrode the spirit within, and it ended disastrously. It did not end well. I know we all can relate, right? Because the voice of the spirit always is trying to lead you in the good way, the good path. But God is so rich in mercy, right? Even when they overrode what the Holy Spirit was saying on the inside of them, God's plan still was directing them. Did you want to say something?
I think I would just say something in there because we was talking about that. Is a lot of times you get into trouble just because you live in this world.
Yep.
Sometimes you encounter stuff just because you're breathing,
it's
right?
It's messy.
Jesus promised that in this life you're going to have struggles and trouble. And, so you have enough of those. But what you don't want to do is to add to that by not being obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit.
That's so true.
So God gave some inside information. Yeah. Hey, Paul, this is what should happen.
Yeah.
But they resisted the counsel of God. And so sometimes it's not, our trouble is not because we're just living in the world. Sometimes it's because we're really running from the counsel of God.
Yeah, that's so good. So true. Well, as you know the story, you know, they keep going. And then it says the hurricane winds showed up, then they started panicking, they got scared, started throwing all their supplies overboard. In fact, in verse 20 of Acts 27, it says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. They were in a hopeless situation, but the word of God came. I can't place enough importance on the word of God. The power of a spoken word from God. That's why we do our morning devos. That's why we encourage you to read a chapter a day. That's why we encourage you to read the word, not just to hear it, not just to applaud it, but to put it in your heart in order to do it because it's a life saver. Storms are going to happen in your life to where you feel like, I'm going to give up. And if you don't have a word from God, you will give up. You'll quit. You'll throw in the towel. You will give up. I like this because it says in verse number 21 through 26, it said, after they'd gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and he said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself the damage and the loss. But now I urge you, keep your courage. He says, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. He says, last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me, and he gave him this word from God that was going to sustain him through the whole thing. He says, don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar in Rome. He says, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who were with you. So keep your courage. He says, for I have faith in God that it will happen just like he told me.
Wow.
Just like he told me.
Wow.
Now, if you go on to read, it happened just like that, right? The ship broke up. They lost the ship. But they all ended up, either they swam to shore, to the island that God provided there, or the Bible said they used the pieces of wood from the broken ship to sail there. And in verse number 44, it says, in this way, everyone reached land safely. Now, they're on their way to Rome. They're on their way to God, what God promised, where he promised that they would be and end up, but they're not there yet. They're still in the middle of the journey. You know, I found it interesting when Pastor Samuel was preaching that word, even over us, you know, we get all excited and we're on our way to Rome. We're on our way to Rome. This is awesome. We're on our way to Rome. Okay, our ship broke up, but we're on land. We're on our way to Rome. We're still on our way to Rome, and we're so excited, right? Because we have the word. But here's the next step of that story. It says, once safely on shore, we found out the island was called Malta, and the islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire, welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. It says, Paul, he gathered a pile of brushwood, and he put it on the fire, and a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. At that point, if I was Paul, I'd be going, really, Lord? Really, Lord? You know, my ship breaks up. I know I'm going to Rome. I know that's what you promised me. The people looking at him are like, okay, here comes the accusations, right? He says, when the islanders saw that the snake was hanging from Paul's hand, they said to each other, They said, this man must be a murderer. He escaped from the sea, but the goddess Justice hasn't allowed him to live. And I love this. Paul shook the snake in the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or fall dead suddenly, but after waiting a long time, seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their mind and said he was a god. Have you realized this, that people are wild sometimes, right? People are watching you. People aren't always celebrating the fact that you're on your way to Rome. People always aren't celebrating the fact that you got a hold of the word and you are determined to get there. The second part of this thing was not just the shipwreck, not just, you know, I don't necessarily, the things that I think I need to get me to God's promised place, I don't always need that. But then I get to this certain place and now I'm not just experiencing that, I'm experiencing the accusations of people. Mm-hmm. And I think I really want to focus just for just a second on that this morning. Because I think in all of our lives, we've experienced that from one degree or another. Mm-hmm. Accusations from people. When the people were saying, oh, he must be a murderer, it wasn't that they were wrong.
Yeah.
Because Paul had been a murderer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was a redeemed murderer.
Come on.
He was a murderer. Come in on. Paul's mind, he was made new.
Good.
He was a righteous
Good,
person
yeah.
created righteously. Christ had redeemed him, and he fully believed that. But how many times do people try to put you back in a box? He's just a fornicator, or he's just a liar, or he's just a all the things. He's not good enough. He'll never qualify. He's a loser. He can't hit the mark. He's horrible. What are the lies the accuser tells you? Because we all experience, right? We're on our way to Rome, but sometimes, most of the time, all the time, we're going to have accusers in our way.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's interesting in the story because, you know, they saw this snake attach itself to Paul, and didn't say anybody went over to try to rescue him, right? They just want to talk about it. Oh,
right.
He must be bad.
Yep.
You know, if it was today, they'd be getting out their phones, snapping it, you know, Instagramming it, and telling their view of it, you know, their version of what happened.
Right.
Has nothing to do with maybe truth, but, you know, their version of what happened.
Well, because right there, the Bible is very clear. The snake is dangling from his hand.
Yep.
And they begin to accuse him.
Yep.
And say, oh, he must be a murderer. And then they add to it, God is paying him for what he has done. That was their post.
Yeah.
That was their perspective. Yeah. And so, which so is true. Just from the heart of the accuser, the brethren.
Yes. So. But our fight, what we have to remember is our fight is not people. The enemy so wants us to be baited in.
Oh, yeah.
To believing it's people we're fighting against while he's hiding underneath the surface of it all. Because if he can get us fighting a flesh fight, we're not going to win in that. We never can win a flesh fight because our fight isn't flesh. It's spiritual. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, we all know this. It says we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. We're not. Says we're fighting against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. If we don't know who our enemy is, then we're going to be fighting the wrong thing with the wrong thing. And I think a lot of us find ourselves, man, being, you know, alienated from things or so frustrated and angry and anxious because we're trying to fight a spiritual fight with flesh. We're being baited into the argument. We're being baited into believing the accusations. And so we find ourselves probably with a lot of anxiety and depression and fear and waking up panicked in the middle of the night because we're fighting the wrong thing in the wrong way. So we have to know that our fight is not flesh and blood. Revelations chapter 12, verse number 9, it says this, because we're talking about accusations, the accuser. Who is the accuser? Where does accusations even come from and originate? Revelations 12:9 says, this great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan. The one deceiving the whole world was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. It says, then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it's come at last, salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. Accuser. You know what an accuser is? Is one who charges another with an offense. We've all been accused, right? If you had brothers and sisters, you have been accused. I didn't do it, they did, right? I'm the good child, they're the bad child, they're the one. You know what they did, right? And as you get older, it just gets more painful, the people around you. I found in my life journey that there are plenty of people who love to give voice to the accuser. I don't know that they mean to. I don't know that we really think when I'm bringing judgment against somebody else that I'm really giving voice to the accuser. Because why would I do that? Because none of us want to influence this world, right, by using the devil's voice, right? As believers, we want to spread the life and the love of Jesus, but we can be baited into giving voice to the accuser. How does that happen? We're in a group of people and somebody comes up and says, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Yeah. Well, I kind of did. What do you mean about them? Well, they've done this and they've done, are you kidding me? Then it spreads like the game telephone when you were a kid. Yes. You take what you thought you heard and you transfer it to somebody else, right? And then they take what they thought they heard and they transfer it to somebody else. And what happens? The voice of the accuser, Satan, is just being expanded and it's growing and it's growing. And I don't think people realize that they're giving voice to the accuser. I think it just comes from our Adamic DNA, right? Our earth flesh. It comes by default. And if I'm not on purpose guarding what I hear and guard what comes out of my mouth, then it's very easy for me just to jump on, not on purpose, but by default, I jump on the accuser bandwagon.
Yep. Yep.
And what starts small becomes big. So that's what was happening here. So we're all going to be accused of things. We're either going to be the accuser or we're going to be accused, right? But how do you handle that? Because I know even as I'm speaking today, we're all thinking about, oh yeah, you know, maybe this is where I've accused, or probably more like, man, this is what's going on in my world right now. If we're all going to be accused, and it's really bait to keep us from getting to the next promise that God has for us, what do I do with that? You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, it says, what blessing awaits you when people hate you, exclude you, mock you, curse you? You can just add accuse you in there. Mm. It says, what blessing awaits you? See, it's all a matter of perspective,
yep.
Right? When I'm being accused of something, maybe it has an element to truth to it, maybe it doesn't, maybe it's all fabricated. When I am being accused of something, I have the opportunity to do what the word says with that accusation. It says here that blessing awaits me when people hate me and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man. It says, when this happens, be happy.
Yeah.
Now listen, if you don't have the Word of God and know that the Word of God says that, you're not going to want to be happy. You're going to want to retaliate. You're going to post back. You're going to fight back. You're going to be baited into being an accuser yourself. We have to on purpose do these things, right? It says we have to be happy. Leap for joy.
Come on. Yeah. Rejoice.
What if you all just tried that sometime, right?
Rejoice,
leap for joy. You're talking about me? Thank you. Thank you. You know, I had the opportunity. It was funny. I had the opportunity the other day. I was getting ready to enter in a situation that I had the possibility of maybe encountering someone that I felt like, you know, I was being accused, judged by. You know, we all enter those situations sometimes where you feel like, oh, I know this could get bad, right? they've talked about me or whatever. And I thought in my mind, you know what? I'm just going to walk right up to them. I'm going to say, thank you. Thank you very much. Because of you, I am blessed. Yeah. But then I had to check the motive of my heart, because I think in that there was a slight accusation back, like, you know, Father, forgive me. So I didn't say anything, and I just toned it down. But it goes on to say in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 11, God blesses you when people mock you, persecute you, and lie about you, say all sorts of evil things against you. It says, because you're my followers, just be happy about it. Be glad, for a great award waits you in heaven. Remember, even the prophets were persecuted in the same way. So what do? Just like Paul, he shook it off. He didn't turn around and go, no, I'm not. You are. Like we would do, right? No, I'm not. You are. No, he shook it off, stayed on mission, stayed going forward. Psalm 62, 5 through 7, David says this. He says, I depend on God alone. I put my hope in him. He alone protects and saves me. He's my defender. I'll never be defeated. My salvation and honor depend on God. He's my strong protector. He's my shelter. Don't be baited into thinking you have to defend yourself all the
time.
Come on.
That's
because
good.
You don't.
Yeah.
Let God be your defender.
Absolutely.
1 Peter 2:23 says this about Jesus. When Jesus was insulted, he didn't answer back with an insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he placed his hope in God, the righteous judge. You know, the end of that verse I read about the accuser being thrown down, and it says this in Revelation 12:11. You know how you defeat the accusations in your life? The Bible says this. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus did on the cross, and by the word of their testimony. And they didn't love their life so much that they were afraid to die. So first of all, we have to know where those accusations are coming from. They're coming from Satan. It's not people. Let's stop fighting people. Let's stop retaliating words for words. Let's know where those accusations are coming from and stand strong, knowing that we have been redeemed from every accusing word that is coming at us. You are more than a conqueror. You are created in the image of God. The past has been washed away. You walk righteous today. You are not your old man. You are not a failure.
Come on.
You're not under. You are over. You have been redeemed from the curse.
Come on.
Jesus has redeemed you. Now, your part of that is to open up your mouth and to declare it so in your life. Declare it so in your life. The reason why we need to do that is because right after this in this story, when he shook off the snake and he continued to live on purpose going forward, the Bible says that miracles started to happen. In fact, it says that the whole city, that whole little island, they brought the sick, the lame, the diseased, and healing came to every one of them. You know why the enemy's trying to stop you with shipwreck, with accusations? He doesn't want to see the miracles that can happen in your life. Miracles are happening in your life. When you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. When you open your mouth, you can prophesy life into your home, into your school, into your neighborhood. Your testimony, the word of your testimony today. My encouragement to all of us, let the accusers accuse. Let the accusers accuse. I give them no ear. I'm redeemed. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony.
I think it's so huge. Wow, because we're on our way to Rome. There's a destiny. And I think what we want you to hear so loud and clear is on that journey, you're going to have to deal with accusations. It's not people. That's not the fight. One of the names of Satan is the accuser. Of the brethren. He accuses day and night. In fact, he'll use your voice.
That's true.
If you let him. That self-talk you do all the
time. We're our biggest
accuser.
I'm a loser.
I'm no good. I'm the, you know, and then he'll use other people. And what he wants to do is he wants to judge you. He wants to condemn you. That's the reason why we have to refuse to participate in the work of hell.
So good.
Anytime you judge somebody, you are participating in the work of hell.
Yep.
The Bible's very clear. You have no position or authority to judge another man because you don't know the heart of a man.
Nope.
I know we've been criticized so much in our life. Well, they don't say nothing. In fact, there's a popular saying out right now, and it's been really since COVID, is that your silence is complicity. Almost like, well, if you're silent, then you're agreeing with the injustice, or you're agreeing with the situation. But that's not always true. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes your silence is godly.
Yeah.
It's funny that as many times as they accused Jesus, the Bible says over and over, and he answered them not
his mouth.
A word.
Yep.
And a lot of times people are saying what they're saying. The enemy is using them to provoke you into a place where not only they're wrong, now you're going to enter in and you're going to get wrong.
Yeah.
And I know people have talked about us because we do get tight-lipped anytime we're in situations, and we're not trying to dismiss it. We just know we don't have
we're not the judge.
I want to preach right there.
if
God's not going to defend us, and it's not worth defending.
Yeah.
God is our defender. Whatever you're doing on your way to Rome, if it's God, God will defend it.
Yes.
Paul's got a snake hanging from his hand.
Yeah.
And the Bible says immediately they say, oh, he's a murderer. Well, you were just saying that, and he was. He was. But Paul, if you read on in his epistles, he said, but I've wronged no man. He says, in one place he says, I've done no wrong to anybody. Well, I'd like to raise my hand and say, hey, Paul, you're wrong. We know you committed to Stephen's death.
Yeah.
You murdered other people. But see, in Paul's eyes, he had a revelation that if you be in Christ.
Come on now. Yep. You're new.
Then you're a new creation.
So good. Yep.
Old things pass away, and behold, all things become
brand new.
And some of you need to get that revelation, because there's some people that have some trash on you.
Yeah.
And they want to use it against you, but you just need to worship and thank God.
Thank you, Lord.
Even if you feel like you got a snake hanging from your hand, you need to say, I'm a new creation. You're not my judge. You ought to say, thank God they're not my judge. He is my judge, and I'll stand before him one day. Paul says, I've done no man any wrong. And so Paul, instead of getting back into the fight, you don't find Paul saying, oh, you guys are wrong. You're this, you're that. You know, blankety blank blank. He just puts it in a place where it can't hurt him anymore.
Yeah. Love that.
He just shakes it off. We were talking about, I know I'm butting in here, but this is probably one of my favorite stories throughout the whole Bible. In fact, it was the very first message I ever preached at Bible school. I had to do it in my lab. It was the subject matter, and the title of the sermon was Shake and Bake That Snake. But you got to remember, that was back in the 1920s. So that kind of...
Shake and bake.
And everybody in our preaching lab said, we're going to preach this message. And I even heard years later that people... And
shake
you know
and
what? You've got to just shake that,
you do. That's so
that
true.
Accusation off.
You do.
You got to shake that hurt off. Yeah. You got to shake that pain off. But it's real. I know it's real. Yep. But can I tell you, that same crowd that was judging him, saying, you must be a murderer. You know what? Just a little bit later, when they see that Paul's not going to die, what do they begin to do? They begin to call him a god.
Yeah.
They go from saying he's a murderer to saying he's a god.
Yep.
And that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, and you mentioned this.
Yeah.
The Bible says that Jesus, so I'm going to give you the verse of that again, because some of you need to read
that's
this.
Good.
John chapter 2.
Yep.
Verse 24, this is what Jesus said. Jesus says, I do not trust men. He says, because I know what is in men. I don't trust people because I know what's in people. And then it goes on to say this in the Living Translation. He says, I know how changeable human nature it is in them. Let me say that right. He said, I know how changeable human nature is that's in them. One translation says he understood the fickleness of human nature. In other words, one day they're going to be singing Hosanna to you.
Yeah.
And the next day they're going to be crucifying you. Yeah. Crucify him. Yeah. Crucify him. That's why we have no fear of man. And sometimes your best position, God's told me this so many times, especially a couple years ago in COVID. He said, can you just keep your mouth shut? Can you just, for some of you that doesn't keep your mouth shut, it's like, can you not post that?
Yeah. Right.
And yeah. I think the power of what we're wanting to communicate to our family, to our church family, is when you have a destiny and you're on your way to Rome, what we've got to do is be on guard for the accusations that are coming our way, and that we're not participating in accusations against somebody else, because that will keep you stuck
it
on
does.
The island.
It
well,
does.
What do? You just said it. The Bible says rejoice.
Yeah.
When all manner of evil speaking, when they gossip about you, lie about you, say all kinds of evil against you. He says, for my sake, he says, you ought to just take a praise break and rejoice. Yeah. He says, for great is your reward.
So true.
Come on, we're on our way to Rome.
Yep.
The reward is your destiny. Yeah. The reward is your great marriage.
So
the reward is your healthy family. The reward is your provision.
Yep.
Hallelujah. The Bible says there's going to be a hundredfold return blessings upon your life, but it will come with persecution.
Yep.
If you want the blessings of God, you will also get the accusations of the evil one.
Yeah.
But we're not stopping here.
No.
Why? Paul shakes that snake off. Shake and bake that snake. Come on, shake and bake.
Yep.
And that was what's the powerful part
happen.
Is that immediately miracles, the
miracles
governor's
happen.
Father was sick, and they go, Paul goes up and takes that same hand that was snake bitten and he lays it upon that father of the governor of that city, and the Bible says he was healed, and because of that miracle
the whole island was healed,
and miracles begin to happen, and then provision came. They lost their boat.
They got a better boat.
But they got a new boat.
That's true.
Come on, they got new cargo. Come on, all the cargo they lost.
Yep.
The Bible says that whole island provided.
Yep.
Listen, if you can learn to keep your mouth shut or not get tweaked with those that are accusing you, there's a miracle on the other side. There's provision on the other side.
And in Acts 28, verse number 14, it says, "And so we came to Rome."
Whoa.
They got there. If we don't quit, we're going to walk into the blessing of God, the promise of God. Yield to the love of God on the inside. Again, it's not just willpower. It's not just saying, okay, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to think a lot of crazy things about you. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. You got to grab your thoughts.
Yes.
Yield them to love. They've done me no wrong. I yield it to love. They've done me no wrong. Watch how God will change situations in your life, bring restoration in life. Favor and blessing. We're going somewhere. This city, this valley, your neighborhood, your family going to receive the healing power of Jesus in every area, because we're going to walk this thing out right in Jesus' name.
We're going to close this out in prayer. We're going to sing another worship song. I don't want you to miss this. Well, powerful, baby. Just so powerful. I think it's what we need.
Amen.
What we need in our homes. The reason why this is so important to us as a church is because what Samuel Rodriguez preached in January and what he prophesied in January is that celebration is on its way to Rome.
Yeah.
Right? We're in new things, transitions. This is all new. What we're doing today is new.
Yeah.
Meeting in our theater's new. But get ready what the new's going to produce. We're on our way to Rome, and we're not going to get stuck in all these things that the enemy wants to throw at us.
Yeah.
We're going to reach our destiny.
Yes, we are.
Not only as a church, but for you as a family, you're going to reach your destiny. So we're going to pray and believe God, whatever you need right now, God's going to minister that. That marriage is going to make it to Rome.
Yeah.
Those kids are going to make, that business is going to make it to Rome. Let's pray.
Father, first of all, we yield to your love this morning. God, we thank you for your love that consumes us. It's tangible. God, we thank you for the redemptive work of the cross, that when we cry out to you, you're there. God, I ask that you bring healing and wholeness in people's lives and minds and souls. God, the lies that we've just allowed to take root in our heart. God, the accusations maybe that have been spoken against us, instead of celebrating, we've taken them to heart, and it's caused pain and deep, deep wounds on the inside of our heart. God, in Jesus' name, God, we yield to the blood of Jesus, the redemptive work of the cross. God, we allow your healing power to heal every part of us. God, bring healing to every broken place. Help us to see things correctly. Help us to see things through the eyes of love, through the eyes of the Spirit. God, help us to be so bold with our faith. God, we stand in opposition to every accusing word. God, every negative thing that someone has said about us, to us, or negative self-talk. God, the enemy's lies that we just pick up and say over ourselves. We stand against that in Jesus' name. We judge every word that has been spoken over us that has not come from you. And God, we declare it bows its knee to the name of Jesus Christ. God, help us to be on guard, to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, that we won't be baited in to a flesh fight, but we're strong in the Spirit. God, bring health and restoration and life to our homes and to our families. God, we allow you to heal our hearts and heal us so we can bring healing and hope and help to other people. God, we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and lives. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard the good things.
Come on.
That you have in store for
yes,
us.
Yes, 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 yes.
So, Lord, we say yes to that.
We say yes, Lord.
God, we say yes to that.
We say yes, Lord.
God, we give you thanks, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If this impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, go to celebrationchurch.cc/give to help us reach people with the message of Jesus.